Blog Talk Radio.
Made the big mistake of singing without muting my mic. I'm so glad I remembered. So, hey, everybody. This is Janine, and you're listening to Lunch with Loudon. Coffee Party Internet Radio is a part of our Be the Media project. In addition to Facebook, Twitter, Scoop It, and the mighty, mighty web, Lunch with Loudon is just one of seven Coffee Party Internet Radio Network broadcasts that you can listen to live or stream later. So, I'll give you the lowdown really quick before we start. Sunday, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, Bobby Rodrigo has I Take Liberty with My Coffee. Monday, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, The Tim Danahy Show. Tuesday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, Issa Hajj and Common Cow, A Muslim and a Catholic Wake Up in America. America. Update without the eight. Wednesday, 5:30 p.m. Pacific, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, February Molyneux and Living Room Conversations. Here you are, Janine, Lunch with Loudon, noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. Friday, Joe Grimbing and Sonia Banda, I don't know how she pronounced the last name, A Cup of Joe, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. And Saturday, Egberto Ule, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 a.m. PM Eastern, Politics and Rates. If you'd like to join our team, go to www.coffeepartyusa.com/volunteer. Be the media. I am joined today by co-pilot Loki King. He'll be watching the phone lines, monitoring chat, and chiming in on our conversation today. So thanks for being here today, Loki.
Not a problem. Not a problem at all.
Here we are. What better thing to do on a blustery Pacific Northwest day, huh?
Exactly. Be in the nice warm office and not having to look at the gray. I actually have a fish tank to look at. So I'm happy.
Exactly. It is gray today. So here we go. I'm sure you'll have a lot to say about this one too, Loki. Today, meaning the day of the live broadcast, is the last day for polling results, national polling results, to be considered when determining who will be included in the next Republican candidate debate. It will be held on the Fox Business Network on November 10th. And it's up to Fox to decide which polls it will include in this decision. But what we don't know right now is, will all the candidates show up? Will they be happy? Given the performance at the last debate, who knows? The presidential election is now just a year away, an entire year away. And the debate season, I don't know about you, Loki, but it started way too soon for me.
Well, you know, the debate did start way too soon, but like with everything, I mean, look at the commercial market, how they start pushing Christmas at the 4th of July. So they're just trying to push everything way faster than what it needs to be.
Personally, my
own personal opinion, who we have in Washington, D.C. probably isn't the right person. Personally, that's how I feel. But I'm not too sure that some of these that are coming up the ranks are going to be much better. We'll have to wait and see.
Well, you know, and that's certainly a coffee party point of view, regardless of your personal position about any given candidate. What we're looking for is issue definition and issue resolution to support the kind of democracy that is supportive of this republic as it was designed, right? And so it doesn't even really matter if you and I support the same candidate. What really matters is that there's a due process and that there's a way that the people become or the people are the driving force behind our own governance. And it's interesting to sort of wheel that back to the debate because I saw at the last Republican candidate debate a lot of vying for control, and that was interesting. I know I'm not the only person following both party debates. I know I'm not the only person who's seen a difference from venue to venue, party to party, moderator to moderator. And I attribute these differences and respect these differences, really, for the exact reason that the venue and the moderators change with each debate. Different news outlets have different perspectives, and we, the people, we want to hear them all. You know, if we just had 10 debates and they were all the same, you know, nobody would watch after a while.
Like I've said in the past, one of the things that people need to do is we need to actually start going out, doing our research, realize that we are actually the ones that make the critical decisions, and basically lead the government where we see we want things to go. But you have to be able to do your research, which means watching all single debates, and try to set your biases aside, but look at the information that's being put out objectively, as well as ask a lot of questions. Always ask a lot of questions.
Well, ask a lot of questions of a lot of people and then see if you can vet anybody's answer, including
exactly.
Your own. You know, and that's one of the humble-making aspects of doing a radio show like this is because I spend a lot of time vetting myself. You know, I'm not going to get, on national radio and then just spout things that I can't support or, you know, aren't confirmed in fact. So, oh, my gosh, it is a big job. But it's no bigger job to be a voting citizen, really, than it is to do a broadcast like this, you know, when it comes down to it. So, in my humble opinion, last week's Republican candidate debate was a political scream for help. I mean, questions like, are you a comic book version of a president? You know, I have to admit I was uncomfortable and a little shocked, and I remain concerned about the quality of the conversation. And frankly, I was happy to hear a comment questioning why questions were being asked, you know, about fantasy football. I mean, I'll continue. Those of us who value stability and reason now have a compass point for our stance. This is just what you and I were just talking about, that we the people deserve adult discussion on meaningful issues before this republic democracy. Let's really talk about what matters to us. And I know that fantasy football is in the news, but, you know, in terms of, you know, the life, death of democracy as we know it, I'm not there. So, lest we think this concern is limited to the most recent debate, my personal concern, is not limited to any party. I don't think it is for you either, Voki. And I want to be clear that despite the moments of brouhaha that we witnessed on November 28th, there were many cogent and well-expressed opinions during that debate. And for most, if not all, the candidates at one point in time or another. And I'm not interested in blaming one party or another. I've been looking at sort of the evolution of political debates in America. And I'm concerned about stability and reason. I'm concerned about truth. And I'm concerned about the snark that is kind of replacing truth or means of dodging truth. And, you know, I don't know if you experience this, Loki, but I'll tell you, every time somebody uses the term politically correct, I want to scream, because it's like saying, doesn't matter if I'm reasonable, intelligent, or well-versed on this subject, if I throw out the words, I don't need to be politically correct, then I can say anything I want. I mean, there is no such thing as political correctness to me. There just isn't. It's just a way to dodge an answer, and that one makes me uncomfortable. How about you?
Well, yeah, that term, politically correct, in my opinion, is an oxymoron, because politicians and correctness, and then you have the actual, I mean, Fox News is now listed as an entertainment site and not necessarily an actual news site. I personally don't think that we've had a legitimate presidential debate that was actually factual and everybody got their point across since President Reagan, when he actually said, you know what, I'm running, but I am not going to go into a debate where it's just two sides of the story. We have, you know, 26 different political parties out there. All of them need to be represented. There is more than just the Republicans and the Democrats out there. You have a whole bunch of a whole array of candidates to look at.
Oh, exactly, exactly. As a matter of fact, if you want to backtrack a little bit, on the Lunch with Loudon Facebook page, I've posted related articles about many aspects of this whole topic. And if anyone's not had a chance to view this week's collection, I hope you will, because I really don't think that this subject is going to go away very soon. The purpose, I went to Wikipedia. I posted a Wikipedia selection about what's the purpose of the debate in the first place. And that sort of speaks to President Reagan's point that you're making. And here's, I'll read it to you because it's pretty quick. It says, and I quote, during presidential elections in the United States, it has become customary for the main candidates, almost always the candidates of the two largest parties, to engage in a debate. The topics discussed in the debate are often the most controversial issues of the time. And arguably, elections have been nearly decided by these debates, for example, the Nixon versus Kennedy debate, very famous. Candidate debates are not constitutionally mandated, but it is now considered a de facto election process. The debates are targeted mainly at undecided voters, those who tend not to be partial to any political ideology or party. And that last sentence just jumped at me, to not be partial to any ideology or party. So that might be a first question, Lizzie. It's like, is the target market the undecided, like, quote, quote, the undecided, unquote? Are these debates structured to reveal candidate differences to those people, the undecided? If you recall, the League of Women Voters used to sort of run the show when it came to presidential debates, and they stepped out of the debate business long ago because they wanted to include third-party candidates in the presidential debate. And the two big parties would not agree. So a parting comment from the League was, and I'll quote this one too, under partisan sponsorship, debates will become just another risk-free stop along the campaign trail, unquote. That's a statement from 1988 from the president of the League of Women Voters. So it's not like we should be surprised that, you know, in 2015, exactly what it feels like, what feared is happening. And frankly, what you just said, President Reagan said, I didn't remember him saying that, but that all perspectives and all legitimate presidential candidates should be involved in debate.
Well, and the other thing that, you know, kind of has me concerned and is sending up red flags in my head, and the voices in my head don't really like seeing those red flags, is we now have a presidential debate going to happen over, I believe we discussed it on Tuesday night's show, I believe it's going to happen over in Israel, where they're going to be talking about foreign policy and everything else. Why are our presidential candidates that are supposed to be representing America going to a foreign country to do a presidential debate?
You know, I did not. I'm clicking. I apologize to listeners hearing me clicking my my Google search. But I had no idea that that was happening. But I tell you what, that is actually, in my mind, that's the meat of an entirely different show. The whole nature of the lobby relationship, the financial relationships between our elected and foreign nationals. Israel plays a big role in that particular game, but they're hardly the only player in that game. And if you want evidence, this is a sidebar for sure, but if you want evidence, just look at the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and you'll see more evidence of foreign nationals and foreign governments having more and more to say about not only our political process, but also our the due process of law and the sovereignty of our law. So let's save that one, I'll tell you. But I am not sure I would watch a debate that came from offshore, really. I think that I would be active in boycotting that. That's just wrong in my mind.
Right, and I'm going to probably take you off a little bit of a track again, but it'll give you more material for another show. In my personal opinion, one of the things that is harming our electoral process is we need to get rid of the electoral college vote, because basically those votes are taking away the voice of the actual people. But that's just me.
Hey, I'm happy to put that show together with you sometime, Loki, because that, you know, the other side of it is, or another piece of the same kind of conversation is, you know, why we have a ceiling of 435 members of the House of Representatives, when if we followed the Constitution, it would be like 1,400. You know, that also sort of is talking about the 21st century reality of the complexion, the composure, the structure, the design of our country today, as opposed to, you know, what was happening in the 1700s. So, hey, let's book it. We'll book that one. And watch Lunch with Loudon to see a Facebook page to see when this one's coming. There's my note to listeners. So, okay, let's see. How can we get back on track? Here it is. So we were talking about how the League of Women Voters bowed out because legitimate third-party candidates were not being included, and it was becoming run by Democratic Party and the Republican Party as opposed to by an organization that really was there to educate and inform the electorate. I mean, that's the mission of the debate for the League of Women Voters. But I think it's also important to remember that the officials of the Republican National Committee, referred to as the RNC, took control of the process for the 2016 presidential election after a long and eventful debate season that many in the party thought hurt. The RNC really didn't like how debates worked or played out for their party in 2012. And so they're very strongly running things now. As opposed to participating, they're totally running the Republican side of it. So maybe a little more timeline is important, too, because I sort of put together this rough timeline of what's happened in the 7 days, you know, in the week since this we decided to do the show. And it's been fast and furious, huh? So on Wednesday, October 28th, the CNBC debate was held in Colorado. Thursday, next day, October 29th, the candidate outrage was pouring. As a matter of fact, it started the evening of the 28th. Except Kirsch, is that how you say his name? he was saying, hey, it's a debate, we did fine, move on. I think he put it where it belonged. I didn't feel that bad about it. I was awkward, or felt awkward in certain parts. But anyway, and then the candidates as a group, the majority of them walked away from the RNC plans for future debates. So then by Friday, the RNC is responding by walking away from its network agreement, suspending the NBC February 26th debate, and putting a new staff person in charge of managing the debate. So I don't know who the old person was. It probably doesn't matter who the new person was, but they made a personnel change. And the interesting note here is, of course, is that the next debate, November 10th, is being hosted by Fox Business Network, Fox, and is scheduled to go on as planned, and any decisions that the candidates come up with or that the RNC comes up with between now and then don't apply to them. So I guess they don't have to have a 67-degree temperature in the room and whatever other, or longer bathroom breaks. I'm not sure what that list was. So then Sunday, November 1st, closed meeting of candidates in Virginia, I think it's in Alexandria, and to discuss the changes that these candidates wanted to see going forward. And Fiorina did not attend. No staff member, nor did she attend this meeting. A draft letter was produced that included a series of questions for any network slated to host a debate, warning moderators against belittling the candidates by holding lightning rounds. I'm not sure why that's belittling. Or describing how far away the bathrooms are after commercial break. Or even suggesting this room temperature of 67 degrees. The letter is available online. I think the Washington Post carried it. It was interesting, but not what I expected given the vitriol that followed the debate. Then Monday, November 2nd, Trump, Pashut, and Christie announced that they'll not sign the group letter, and certainly Fiorina won't sign the letter because she wasn't there. And that looked like Keystone Cops at that point, I thought. And it was sort of added to by the fact that Obama used their Keystone Cop Act for himself in a fundraiser on Monday night. And this is a really quick one. I'm going to read. Have you read this one, Loki, or have you seen the video of it?
You know, I have not seen the video yet, so.
Yeah, well, this is pretty much a quote. Every one of these candidates says, Obama's weak. Putin's kicking sand in his face. When I talk to Putin, he's going to straighten out. And then he goes on to say, and then it turns out, they can't handle a bunch of CNBC moderators. If you can't handle those guys, I don't think the Chinese and the Russians are going to be too worried about you. I actually thought it was funny mostly because of all the histrionics that was going on, not only between the networks and the candidates and the RNC, and the candidates with each other. So they really did create this funding opportunity for the other side. So,
and Janine, I'm going to jump in here for just a second. We are watching the chat room that you can find on Blog Talk Radio. So if you have a comment, you can make it there. Or if you would like to call in and ask a question, please feel free to do so. You can do so at 646-929-2495. That's 646-929-2495.
And don't forget to hit 1 to raise your hand. There are people who listen to the broadcast and you see the phone numbers in the queue, but until you push 1, your virtual hand is not raised, so we don't know to call on you.
So the raising of the hand doesn't mean that they want to go to the bathroom. It means that I need it.
I've never thought of it that way. So, well, and I've got another question for you because part of what it's interesting that during the debate And after the debate, the quote-unquote liberal media was being blamed for anything that looked clumsy. And frankly, I think that this was all about saving face, just to pick up that. I concur with statements. I concur with a lot of what was said because I watched it twice. The first time I was just watching like anyone else. The second time I was being a critical observer and taking some notes. And some of the post-debate review called the moderators the debate losers, like who won, who lost the debate. It's a big talk after every debate. But people are saying the moderators were the losers in that they committed, and I'm going to quote here, I think this is Washington Post, I'm not sure. The cardinal journalistic sin of allowing themselves to become part of the story they were covering. The near bickering between moderators and candidates began about 15 minutes in, you might remember. And then it went on from there. There were highlights, however. And you watched this debate, right? You saw this?
I did.
Kind of move on. Yes, yes. So, but, you know, it started, I thought, even just before the debate started, because I heard comments in that sort of how they're sort of killing time until the debate starts. This is also a quote. I want to see the candidates go after each other. And this is one of the moderator's hopes or a commentator's hope. The comment was specifically about tax plans, representative of a tone that really did continue through the night. So in the world of questions at these debates, there seems to be like softball questions and hardball questions. And then the softball questions, the hardball questions kind of include, on the one hand, historical recaps or explanations of positions, or the accusation for that debate was some of those questions were gotcha questions. And the softball questions are kind of like, hey, they opened with one that said, hey, if this is a job interview, what would you consider to be your weakness in running for this position? And those of us that have had many, many job interviews, you know, they always ask this. This is like a canned, it must be in some supervisor or management manual, you know, what do you ask people that have made it into the final interview? And so I thought everybody did fine, but that's definitely a softball question. The hardball question, when it came to history, well, the gotcha questions that I didn't like or the weird questions were like, are you a comic book version of a candidate that was asked of Trump? Or are you hindered by Republican know-nothingism? And that was asked of Bush. I don't even know what Republican know-nothingism is, and I played the tape back over and over around that, and I still didn't understand it. So I will agree that there's some gotcha questions in this mix. But where I thought it got most hostile is in the history recap, asking your position on things questions. And so that's an example of that is, you know, you're a candidate, you have a tax plan. My research says that tax plan won't work. You know, where am I missing? What am I missing? That's really not a gotcha question, and that's really not a softball question, but it is a valid question. It's certainly something with tax planning and fiscal management being such big questions this time. It's certainly one I'd like an answer to. But frankly, the biggest discomfort for me and the rest of the audience was on those kind of questions. I'm going to kind of, for example, the fact check that followed sort of substantiated that these moderators were faced with candidates giving less than true answers. And so I think the audience and I became most uncomfortable when the moderator challenged the answer. And I'm not sure we should be uncomfortable. I mean, does that make sense to you, Lucky? It's like one of them was there's more businesses closing than opening. Very strong point made, but not true. Mm-hmm. Women were left behind in the recovery. Very strong message, not true. I'm still funding my campaign. You can imagine he said that one. Also not true. I negotiated the debate from 3.5 hours to 2 hours. Not true. I mean, it was on the Lunch with Loudon Facebook page. You can go see the fact check analysis of this and any other debate. It's not limited to this debate. And this was a pretty long, this particular piece about this particular debate was a lengthy article. There was a lot of misconceptions being thrown around. So we have to ask ourselves the question, what should a moderator do if a candidate gives an untrue or a non-responsive answer? And do we want moderators to provide that service? Do we want a moderator to be the one to point to a misconception in an answer? What do you think about that, Mickey?
Well, I mean, just with my background, I was a radio announcer for 17-plus years. Back when I was in radio, we were required to actually report on stories, both sides, whether we agreed or not, truthfully. And if you're going to have a candidate that is not willing to actually give you the truth or answer a question fully, yes, somebody needs to call them on that. We are getting into a situation that it's just going to get worse, and we see it with the Obamacare and now with the TTP laws and regulations that they're trying to pass is, oh, you just need to trust us. You don't need to know what's in it. Just trust us. We know what we're doing. But yet we don't know what it is either. If you've got a candidate that is not willing to stand up and say that is wrong, this is what it really is, how are they going to be able to make the correct and appropriate decisions for our country?
Right, right. And especially, you know, normally, I mean, you probably remember high school debate teams, or if you went to college, you remember college debate teams, or and they used to have TV shows, you know, college debate here in Oregon, and or high school debate. And normally, the counter statement to if somebody said something that wasn't true, one of the, you know, a debater from the other side would counter. Well, these debates, at least in the primaries, for the primary debates, you don't have people from the other side. You see what I'm saying? So it's not you don't have someone who has a vested interest in telling the truth if it's something that you want to sort of obviate. How do you say it? You know, if you want to sort of shadow, shade, or soften a particular concept, it might be something that the entire party wants to shadow, shade, or soften, right? And so you don't, it's not like a real debate where you have point, counterpoint, and the listeners get to decide, right? And so the moderators are in an interesting, you know, in an interesting place here. But, you know, it's not limited. I don't want anyone to think that this is limited to Republicans or just to the moderators that were involved in this most recent debate. And so I got a few quotes from some of the other debates. And here's some of the things that, snarky questions. I've got a list here of snarky questions from previous debates. Ta-da! Will you say anything to get elected? That was a question to Hillary Clinton. And, of course, it was the precursor to that was, you know, a litany of things. Here's my favorite to Bernie Sanders. Sandinistas in Nicaragua. You honeymooned in the Soviet Union, and just this weekend you said you're not a capitalist. Does that add right itself? There's another one that was asked Martin O'Malley. Why should Americans trust you with the country when they see what's going on in the city that you ran for more than 7 years? That one's less snarky, but it's also still questions like this carry a bunch of baggage. Here's one that was asked of Lincoln Chafee. You've been everything but a socialist, a Republican, an independent, a Democrat for a little more than 2 years. Why should Democratic voters trust you won't change again? because, you know, frankly, I don't know about you, Loki, but I've been registered in at least 5 different parties over my lifetime, not the least of which was the Libertarian Party. I was a card-carrying Libertarian for years. And so that particular question, it's got a lot of baggage in it. There's a lot of them said any listener could have read anything they wanted into that. And frankly, I'm not sure what thing difference it makes. You know what I'm saying? What difference does that make? So,
it doesn't make any.
Go ahead.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
No. It's just a trip up, say something, answer, you know, try to answer it the best you can. Well, there's always the opportunity to miss the target because the target is obscure, right? So I think that that's part of what some of these questions at every debate have been sort of, what is it you really want me to answer? You know,
right.
I find myself asking that same thing 45 minutes into the broadcast, this most recent one. Tom Cruise accused the moderators of creating a cage match environment. You remember that? And he accused the moderators of having no intention of voting in a Republican primary.
And with that, before you go on, Janine, we do have somebody that has their hand up that would like to share something or ask a question of you.
808 Hawaii. I'm opening your mic. Welcome to Lunch with Loudon.
Am I on?
You are.
Hello? Okay. Hey, I just want to step back a little ways to what you said earlier. I haven't heard the whole show. I'm doing chores as I'm listening. But I think it is a misname to call these debates. It's more like in what I think is more of a group press conference. They're getting asked questions, whether it's gotcha questions, dumb questions, TMZ questions, or good questions, right? But it's not really a debate where, like you were saying, point, counterpoint. So I think we should just ask them to change it to what it really is, a joint press conference. I don't know.
Does that make sense?
Pardon?
I would go along with that because they are not debates. It's just a bunch of people that have similar beliefs, that some have more baggage than others, but it's the same message. And if nobody is confronting them on their issues and them not answering their questions, we're not getting anything. We're not learning who the best person for the job is.
Exactly. They're not asking the questions. It's kind of like a lot of, but it kind of does go back to the media. You know, there were dumb questions asked, right? I think all of us could agree, doesn't matter right, left. It's kind of like you see that in all press conferences these days. Just bad questions. I mean, I have my pet peeves, and everyone does, about the things they ask. And I'm like going, oh, great. But, yeah, you know, I can only hope the future press conferences are better, better worded questions. People, the media person, whether a reporter, newsman, what have you, they should stand, you know, like their questions should reflect on them, too. How good of a question? I agree. Fantasy football was not something to bring up in the presidential debate because it's not something the president deals with, right? That's like the Justice Department or something like that, right? So
right.
I guess that's all I have to say, that I agree with you guys. These aren't debates.
Well, let me ask you a follow-up question because one of the things that, you know, if you've been, I've been immersed in this for a week now, and one of the things that came up was a format that really was more like a 2-hour infomercial where everybody just sort of got to say what they wanted to say. And while you're saying that's probably more honest, would you watch that?
No, I didn't actually watch the debate because I don't have cable. So, but I'm not
so
a Republican. But I did
right,
watch the Democratic one, and not all those questions were stellar. But, it was a joint press conference. It wasn't really a true although I don't know if anyone knows what a true debate means anymore. If there are debating teams out there, there must be in some school somewhere.
And to that point, I mean, I want to bring up a couple things. I know this is your show, Janine, but I'm taking over. Couple points to that is the fact that even afterwards, I saw a situation where Ben Carson, after the debate, was walking around. A independent reporter went to him and started asking him some pretty tough questions that he avoided answering during the debate. That reporter was actually escorted out of the building by police, yet another reporter, mainstream reporter, was sitting there asking Ben Carson how his wrist was because he hurt his wrist. Now, what position does his wrist have to do with whether he can run a country or not? And the other thing is, on the debate issue, I agree with you. These are press conferences. They're not debates because you're not getting both sides of the story back and forth. And most people don't know what a true debate is because I actually watched a debate that happened between a bunch of prison inmates and Princeton, and the Princeton College debate team actually lost because the prison inmates were more intelligent and able to respond to the questions appropriately.
You prepare.
Well, I think there's a lot to, I think there's a lot to be said for the fact that debate actually is about articulating positions in the face of a counterposition. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Now, a few of the people, Chris Christie did this several times, and Ted Cruz did at least one time, but where they said, you know, when you compare the opinions that are on the stage today, they are very different from what you'll see at the Democratic debate. And so, in a way, they were bringing in the elements of debate because, truth be told, there is a party line here. And while everybody might have a slightly different perspective on tax cuts or the tax code, there's not a huge variance between them compared to between them and the other party. And
right.
They would bring out sort of the here's a different perspective, and I don't share that perspective, right? I think that that's important.
I hope the noise of me walking around my house didn't come over the radio.
Oh, it did. It did.
No, I realized. I put my finger. I don't know how to mute my phone. I'm sorry. But, yes, I know I was walking down some stairs. I don't know if we could sit hours. It's like with a field of 14, they would have to ask one question. Everyone go down the line and give their answer to say whether it's taxes. I don't know if they did that or not, where every person was given the exact same amount of time to voice their tax position, you know. So, I mean, that would make it closer to a debate. But it seems like they're just asking, like any press conference, random questions.
Right, they didn't ask everybody the same question. And so not everybody.
I mean, that would make it closer to a debate. But, yeah, it's not a debate, and I don't doubt that the inmates had plenty of time to prepare for the debate.
Right, and motivation to prepare. And motivation. So here's the last thing.
I can't think of a better thing to help prisoners than to teach them to debate, you know, as far as the logic required, the rules that you follow in a true debate. But I don't know how we're going to fix this, because as long as the media keeps on using that word debate, people have this notion that it's a debate when it's not. And I mean, I could I scream at my radio too much when these guys use the language like yesterday. What was it? They reported something that John Kerry had said, and they used the word ISIS. And I know for a fact that John Kerry would never use that word. He would say ISIL or Islamic State. because that's the official language that the government uses, but yet the media reports the word ISIS. So they're changing, they're editorializing his very statement. So you start wondering, what else are they editorializing? They feel free to change the actual words that come out of their mouth. But that's another topic. Sorry.
But it's a legitimate perspective here, you know, is that we do change the words. And I think it's important to try to hone in on what people actually said. And so I'm going to ask you one last thing, because you were interested in this notion. And the one thing I want to comment on is, back in the day when it was presidential, like the primaries were already over and it was actual candidates that were going to be on the ballot that were debating, certainly was more of a debate.
Right, they are. I've watched them and seen those. But these primary things are, especially when it's a field of whatever, 14, and they put even 10 and they separate it, which is just silly to me, is that they even have, you know, the big kids' table and the little kids' table. It should just be one table and everyone given equal time and not dumb questions. But, yes. And your question is?
So one of the things that I read in several sources, so it's not me making it up, and it didn't have a dream, is that people like Beck and Hannity and Limbaugh have been suggested as better moderators for future candidate debates. And I just
then they're controlling the whole debate, a so-called press conference. Let's just say what it is. I'm just going to call them press conferences from here on out. The primary press conferences. So I would be scared about that. To me, it's like, I didn't think CNBC or whatever it was did that bad. I heard some of the questions were good, some of the questions were bad, and I think it was pretty easy to say, why are you even asking that? That worked for me. But they should have gone and stuck with, because what happened is then the report of the debate gets stuck on the stupid questions and not the good questions asked. So I would have a problem with one station, whether it be any, you know, right or left, controlling these press conferences. Because then they get to control the message when the message should be real questions. So I don't know. Did I answer?
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I think that this is if you're going to go to the infomercial mode, then, you know, picking a personality, you know, a charismatic personality to run this infomercial is exactly what people would do, you know, just like the OxyClean guy, you know what I mean?
Like, except for I get more information from the OxyClean guy than I can from some of these debates, I have to say. You're really downplaying infomercials here.
Right. Well, and you know, I'm all about free enterprise, and so sometimes infomercials are the big breakthrough for people. I do think it's interesting that people considered CNBC liberal, because I do not.
Right, just because that NBC, and I think that's what the whole ploy was, I believed, and put on my tinfoil hat, that their whole gig was to make sure that they were unhappy. They would find, cherry pick the bad questions and then complain about them because of the last letters NBC, because if you ever go to the right-wing blogs, NBC is like the boogeyman of propaganda, right-wing commie propaganda kind of thing, you know. So I know CNBC is conservative. It's not liberal at all.
Especially from
NBC,
a financial point of view.
Right, and it just had, yes. I think it was a thing to try to start controlling who does these press conferences. But it was predetermined they would complain, because there were good questions, and I didn't watch the whole thing to see, the good and the bad. But I saw cuts that were good. Good questions people should answer.
When I watched it the second time, there was like 4 days in between, right? And there was all this hubbub right after, and the next day was just vitriol, you know. But when I watched it the second time, I still felt uncomfortable in the same moments, right?
Right, because they were stupid questions. They were truly
stupid
questions.
Well, but there was also uncomfortable moments. When you're telling somebody that their tax plan will not work, I mean, that's uncomfortable when a moderator is saying, you can't tithe 10% and have this work. You know.
Well, actually, it was the financial thing. I believe those guys could be a little bit on the knowledgeable side of that equation and pointing out that no way could that work, but it could have been phrased better. I mean, what's wrong with journalists? Why can't they at least, you know, go on Jeopardy and ask a question, you know? I mean, just say, how will that work?
Journalistic Jeopardy, I like that. But well, let me finish this one thought, because basically what I was going to say is that, you know, in those 2 hours of debate, while, yes, there were uncomfortable moments for me as someone watching, the majority of it was well done. Said what they thought. They got a little feedback from the moderators. They got testy with each other a few times. The discomfort isn't just that people are testy. It's not they're right or wrong. It's that they're testy. But for the most part, people got to say what they thought, and for the most part, the questions were valid. And so it is, I like your perspective that this is either somebody stumbled big and decided, you know, it's hard to believe that this was all an after effect. And if anybody walked in with the notion that they were concerned about what was going to happen and were ready with a strategy, tinfoil hat speaking here, you're right. This would be an excellent strategy. Lucky, I interrupted you.
No, yeah, I'm outside. I got to go back in. Oh, I was outside.
Anyway, mute.
I was outside in the wind, so I didn't want to go. Okay,
yeah.
So.
Well, I
yeah.
can mute you. You can continue to listen, and if you hit one again, your hand will come down. If you want to speak again,
take my hand down. Yeah, so I pretty much said what I wanted to say, and I totally agree with you. I mean, I agree with my own tinfoil thing is I think they were going to find complaints and they were going to get out of the NBC questions because who knows, Rachel Maddow might have showed up and asked the real. I'm looking forward to her press conference with the Democrats. Do you know when that comes up?
Yes, tomorrow night. It's tomorrow night.
Oh, gosh, I'll have to go to somebody's house that actually gets MSNBC.
Other thing, I'll ask you one last thing before you go, and that is this. Rachel Maddow has put out a call for questions. And if you go to the Lunch with Autumn Facebook page, you'll find the link to that. You can also just go to Twitter and put hashtag MSNBC2016 in the search box, and you'll come up with the thread for where people – one of the places where people were asked to submit questions. She asked the public to say, what
okay,
is
okay, I think I will
hear?
Submit it and ask them, don't you think this is a press conference?
Brilliant.
After a debate.
Brilliant.
All right. I'm just worried about the background sounds because I'm working on my lawnmower right now,
call.
Trying to figure out why it doesn't start.
Thank you for your call.
Kicking
and,
hasn't.
If you put your hand down, and you can put it up again if you want. Aloha. So, Loki, I stepped on you there a minute ago. I know you had something to say. Oh, I'm not hearing you.
That's because I have my mute button on. I have several buttons that I can hit. No, I was just going to say that we would go ahead and mute her so that the sound would be not interfering, so we could actually go on with the show. But I do agree. What she's saying is these are not debates. They are press conferences to push a singular agenda, in my personal opinion. But going back to your point of feeling uncomfortable, Janine, my psychology professor, when I was going through college, he said, when you feel comfortable and you're complacent in the day-to-day stuff, you are very dangerous. He says, it's when you feel uncomfortable that you are actually paying attention to what's going on around you and making appropriate choices. So he says, it is healthy to feel uncomfortable because you're going to make wise decisions at that point.
Excellent. I like that perspective. It makes sense to me, too. It's kind of like saying, it's like being aware or being, you know, the word beware comes from be aware. And I wasn't really sure what the mischief afoot was, but, you know, I was uncomfortable with parts of it. But that doesn't inherently make it bad. It means there's something to notice here. And again, there were parts of this debate that I played over and over and over because I could not find the point of upset, and yet the upset occurred. So that tells me from just an observational point.
The upset occurred is because somebody threw sand in the sandbox and somebody else did not like it because it did not go along with their point of view. That's where the upset is. We have these, the media is reporting biasly in a lot of aspects. They are reporting what they are being told to report by certain people. They are not necessarily reporting what the actual truth is.
Well, and that's certainly the whole purpose behind the Coffee Party Be the Media project. That's why we encourage blogging and reporting and sharing vetted information and having shows like this where we can discuss what it is we're discuss our experiences as we sort of try to negotiate, you know, this republic's democracy. It's like, what's working, what's not working. That's why I was so tickled about Rachel Maddow asking people, you know, sending your questions. Now, others, I don't remember if CNBC had asked her questions or not. I believe most of them do. But especially after the promoted discontent, after the last, I like it, press conference, at the last press conference. I was kind of surprised. I was happy to hear it. Also, that she's not conducting a debate. She calls it a candidate forum, and I'm wondering what that's going to look like because that is more what we're talking about. That is more honest, that this is not a debate. If this is a candidate forum, then maybe her format will be different slightly. I don't know.
We won't know until we actually tune in.
And that'll be tomorrow night. And if you want the details, you can go to the Lunch with Loudon Facebook page. And we have the listings for the upcoming debates there and the candidate forum. Listen, I can't leave you all today without reminding you that Coffee Party USA is an all-volunteer grassroots organization that is totally crowdfunded. Citizens United has not benefited us. To become a member or a donor, go to www.coffeepartyusa.com and push the big red Become a Member button. It'll take you where you need to go. And frankly, this is a great month to go there. November is member month. So if you become a member this month, and there's bumper stickers and there's T-shirts and there's something, but the whole point is that this is member month. So if you've been thinking about becoming a member of Coffee Party USA, become one now. And if you've been thinking about being a donor, if your membership isn't for you, this is a great time to do that too. So www.coffeepartyusa.com. Push the big red Become a Member Today button right there next to the Stability Pledge on our homepage. So, Loki, it's been fun talking to you about this debate. I'll be watching the next few, hoping that some of our, you know, testing for some of our observations and probably discussing them with you again in future shows. Are you up for it?
I am up for it. This time of year, we actually need to start finding the right people to bring back our nation, to reclaim it, get back to what is actually meant to be, and that's liberty, freedom, and happiness for all.
Don't forget justice. I got to have justice in my little equation there, but you're exactly right. Citizen government, Carla Fiorina called it. And I was kind of interested in her, what she said about that. It was surprising. Although I didn't necessarily agree with her about why we didn't have that, it is the goal I seek, and I think that you seek as well. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week here on Coffee Party Internet Radio. Coffee Party on.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the most.